Our scripture reading is from Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Gail Crosby is the superintendent of schools for Oregon, so he brings a lot of experience to us. Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm honored. Michael, thank you for that beautiful, beautiful song. And the praise team as well. I think sometimes we forget when Jesus and his disciples got together, they started their meeting with songs of praise. Isn't that great? It's a good image to keep in front of us. I have been treated today by you. I've never been in your church before. Diana and I work together closely. I stop by the school often, but never in here. There is a peacefulness to this sanctuary. Thank you for sharing that with me and my best friend. Sharon, my wife, is here with me. I have one claim to fame. I married way up. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. I didn't know the history of this area. I was talking with some of them. You're amazing people that attend here. And they told me some of the history, that there was an academy here, that there was the conference office was actually here in Sutherland. I think we need to move back right here. This is God's country. That would be good. It is a joy to be here with you, to worship with you today. It is amazing as we come apart and share common burdens with each other in a church setting. We long for a better day that we know is coming in a world made new. And we are in a literal war for the hearts and minds of each other, but especially our children. As our school and our church work towards that one common goal, we can realize that day when we will walk into a world made new. I often pictured the teachers and the elders and the church members taking the children by hand, but I think the picture could be a little opposite. I think they're going to take us by our hands and lead us there, and that's going to be a great day. In a world where there is no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more surgeries, no more strokes, only joy. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. Is it okay if we start with a little humor? Is that okay? I think heaven is going to be a joyful place where there is lots of singing and praise, but also humor. I'm excited for your new pastor that's coming. I haven't met him yet, but that's going to be a good day. I'll tell this story in his absence because he's not here, and that is good. An elderly lady came into the back of the church. An eager deacon met her and said, "May I find you a seat?" She said, "Yes, young man, I'd like to sit in the front row." He said, "That's no problem." They started walking down the aisle, and he turned to her and said, "If you will notice, most of the people sit in the back because the pews are padded back there. You see, I must tell you that our pastor is rather boring. And people tend to go to sleep when our pastor speaks." She says, "I'd like to sit in the front row." He said, "That's fine, ma'am." And as he continued on, he kept pointing out, "Maybe you'd like to sit over here with Mrs. Jones, or maybe you'd like to sit here." "I'd like to sit in the front row." "That's fine." Took her clear down to the front row, sat her down. Just as he was leaving, she turned to him and said, "Young man, do you know who I am?" He said, "No, I don't." She said, "I am the mother of your pastor." Red-faced, he turned to her and said, "Ma'am, do you know who I am?" She said, "No, I don't." He said, "Thank you, Jesus." It's good to laugh, isn't it? It is good to laugh. It is. I have been studying about a topic you will never guess. I have been studying about the ostrich. I don't think there's anybody in here that thought I was going to say that. You see, an ostrich will grow up to 10 feet tall. It is the largest flightless bird in the world. It can weigh up to 330 pounds. That's a big bird. It's amazing because if you look at an ostrich, you will notice that its head is very small in comparison to its body. It has a large eye, but behind the eye is a very small brain. It gives new meaning to the term bird brain. It is very slow of mind. It can lay eggs up to 5 pounds each. In the mid-1800s, the ostriches were hunted for their meat, almost to the point of extinction. But since that time, in Africa and California, there are ostrich farms where they grow ostriches, and they're flourishing again. I ordered this. I haven't opened it yet. I'm pretty excited about this. You see, when an ostrich lays its egg, its simple mind takes over. And to keep it from the predators, who, if they find it, it would be a feast of colossal proportion. So it kicks dirt or twigs up over the eggs so no one will find them. But as the ostrich turns to forage for food, if the ostrich takes its eye off of the eggs, it will immediately forget where the eggs are, and the next generation will be lost. The lesson of the ostrich egg. I'm pretty excited. Hopefully it arrived in one piece. I'm not sure. If you would travel to the Middle East, you would notice ostrich eggs on display, ornately carved or painted, sometimes used in chandeliers. They are a symbol to us Christians that we always need to keep one eye firmly focused on Jesus if we are to keep the next generation. It arrived in one piece, and it has a little stand right here. This ostrich egg is our reminder. I'm going to give this today to Diana as her reminder to always, when we deal with the next generation, the youth among us, always to keep one eye firmly focused on Jesus. I have been studying about how Jesus made presentations like this to groups of people, sometimes in the synagogue, sometimes out on the side of a hill. I noticed three things about these presentations. Number one, they're not very long. The Sermon on the Mount, his most famous presentation to a group of people, is actually very short. So will my presentation be. Short, that is. The second thing I noticed is he loved to tell stories. They didn't view Jesus as a deep theologian. They viewed him as someone who spent time with drunkards and sinners. But his theology was the deepest of all. I too will tell stories today. The third thing that Jesus did when he made presentations like this was he didn't always connect all the dots. He would tell a story to a group of people. His disciples would stay after once the group had left, and then they would turn to Jesus and say, "What did that mean?" And he would tell them another story. Sometimes it was years in the future before they comprehended the meaning of his stories. Neither will I today connect all the dots for you. Cold Hard Cash is the title of my talk. I want to talk about money. I want to talk about the stories that Jesus talked about cold hard cash. There's many in the Bible, you know. Let's see, there is the story of the widow's mite. Do you remember that? There's the story of the rich young ruler. It's amazing, Jesus called the rich young ruler to be a disciple using the magic words, come, follow me. I wonder if there would have been 13 disciples if he would have said yes. That amazing story, the only one who turned him down. There's the story of the rich man. There's the story of the, oh, remember the fish with the coin in its mouth? Cold hard cash, that is. The first story I want to tell you today is about when the disciples were talking to Jesus. They surrounded him and said, tell us about taxes. I thought that would be a good topic for this month. Tell us about taxes. He turned to them and said, show me a coin. And they did. And then he asked them a question. Whose image is on the coin? May I be brave enough to ask you today the same question that Jesus asked his disciples almost 2,000 years ago. In the same way, whose image is on the coin? If you are a young person, I would snuggle up to a very smart person right now because we are going to ask you that very question. I have some coins. Here is a simple penny. Whose image is on the penny? Sorry. Oh, do you know? It is Abraham Lincoln. You can have that penny. That is great. This coin is a picture of somebody with long hair. It is braided with a little bow at the end. It's worth a nickel. Does anybody know who's... Do you know? That is so close. Just say Thomas Jefferson. That's right, Thomas Jefferson. That is so good. That is so good. I love it. Here is another nickel. This one's a little bit older. This is a hard one. On the front, it's not a president. On the back is actually an animal. Does anybody know? Yeah, do you know? You are so smart. That is great. Here, I'll just toss it down there. That is a buffalo. That's kind of fun. This is a hard one. Whose image is on the dime? Does anybody know a dime? Do you know? Who is it? You are so smart. That is very, very true. That is great. Thank you. Oh, we're getting tougher. Here is somebody with, oh, look at that. Long hair again. Braided again with a bow at the end. And this, does anybody know a quarter? That's George. You are right. That is, I had to check myself. Good for you. This is too fun. I wish I had a 50-cent piece. I do have a 50-cent piece. Whose image is on the 50-cent piece? You are, is that right? Did you say that? That is very cool. Can, do you mind passing that down right there? That is true. This is a tough one. This is a little tough one. There's two people on this. It's worth a dollar. It's not a president. It's a mother and a, is that okay if we pass it to somebody else? Just so you don't get too rich. You know all the answers. That is too good. Oh, Sacagawea. That is very true. I have one more coin. Whose image is on the coin? This is one of the largest coins ever minted in a U.S. mint. Initially, oh, this is a bicentennial too. Initially, it was worth a dollar. It's kind of nice. It's a war president. Anybody know who this is? That is Eisenhower. That's an Ike. That's the end of the first half of my first story. Second story, first half, starts with three simultaneous events. The first was the sun came up like any other Sunday. That's where it quit. Because the second simultaneous event, the instant that the sun came up, was a large bolt of lightning that shot from the heavens, slammed into the ground, causing the third simultaneous event, a large earthquake, which knocked the 600 Roman soldiers who were present off their feet. It was, we are told, the most powerful angel in all of heaven that shot down in that bolt of lightning slamming into the ground. Ellen White tells us an amazing thing. Do you know what form he took? He was a young man. It was a teenager that represented the most powerful angel in all of heaven. The 100 Roman soldiers who were present had one task: guard the rock. 100 men, warriors, one task. They had sealed it well. They had put the wax and the seal of the Roman Empire on top, which meant if anybody moved the rock, they would be executed. They had taken extra precaution. They had fastened rope around the rock and tied it into the mountainside that the cave was dug out of. That was one secure rock. It had taken 4 of them to move it into place. Their one job was to guard the rock. If anybody moved the rock, not only would that person be executed, but the Roman soldiers as well. The angel reached his hand out and rolled that rock away as if it were a pebble and called out in a loud voice, "Son of God." Son of God was the phrase that the high priest loved to be called. Son of God was the same phrase that the Roman rulers loved to be called. Son of God was the same phrase that the pharaohs of old loved to be called. But the angel called it out to the one and only true Son of God. Son of God, come forth. Your Father calls you. There was a stirring in the tomb. A second angel appeared, walked into the tomb, helped Jesus unwrap from the burial cloth that he was in, and the Son of God stepped out into the bright sunshine of the Sunday morning and called out in a loud voice, using the same words that he had just used when he resurrected Lazarus but 2 weeks before. "I am the resurrection and the life." At that, the 100 Roman soldiers who were present could not take it anymore and fainted away. When they came back to life, the angels were gone, Jesus was gone, and they had the incredible privilege of being the first to share the good news of the gospel that this was indeed the Son of God and he has risen. We, as Adventist Christians today, have the privilege of proclaiming that same gospel. This is indeed the Son of God. He has risen, and he is coming again. That's the end of the first half of the second story. Let's go back to the first story, second half. Who ended up with the Ike? Who's got the Ike? Oh, bless your heart. Anybody know the value of that Ike? It's $1. That's a bicentennial Ike. It's in pretty good shape. If you went to a coin collector, you might pay a little bit more than that, but not much. Yeah, maybe $1.25, but it's not worth a lot. The 50-cent piece, did you get the 50-cent? You know the value on it? It's kind of nice shape, that particular one. Yeah, it's worth about 50 cents. The quarter is the quarter. The dime is a dime. Let's see. Oh, the nickel. But there was a... Nice, the buffalo. The trick is, are there any coin collectors in here? The buffalo nickel, on the front of it, that date wears off pretty easy. Can you read the date on yours? if you can read the date, 3070, might be worth maybe 5 or 6 times its original value, maybe 25 or 30 cents. It's kind of cool. It's kind of a neat keepsake. That is fun. That's about it for the value of the coins. Oh, is there another coin? Oh, yeah, the penny. They did a little experiment in New York City because pennies are pretty much useless. They took pennies and put them on the sidewalk, and then they more, and they had a mound of pennies. No one had stopped. They just walked by. Pennies are pretty much useless. If you go into any 7-Eleven, pretty much, I don't know if they're in the world, but in the States, up on the counter, there's little trays. You can just take pennies. Pennies are pretty much useless, except for that penny. Is that your penny? You see, that penny is a little bit unique. Your eyes are better than mine, but if you look at the date on that penny, do you see the date on that penny? That's a 1909. If you know anything about pennies and coins, you would know that that's the first year that the Lincoln penny was minted. You see, if you go back in history a little bit, when Abraham Lincoln was president, he led this country through perilous times, shall we say. When he was murdered in the mid-1860s, there was confusion about how effective his presidency was. But as the years went by, he became revered as a president and is still our most beloved president to this day. In fact, what Congress did, they had a little contest, and they said, we want to honor President Lincoln. In fact, we want to put his image on the coin that is most used at that time, which was the penny. In fact, it's kind of nice because 1909, they wanted to roll it out in 1909 because Abraham Lincoln was born in 1809. It was his 100th birthday. Kind of a cool story, it really is. And so they had a little contest, and anybody could submit their own portrait of Abraham Lincoln to be chosen to be put on the coin in memory of Abraham Lincoln. Wow! All the artists all over the world submitted their drawings. There was one, however, who had a little advantage. His name was Victor. Victor had already done an image of Abraham Lincoln. In fact, it was hanging in the White House as it is today. And he submitted that painting of Abraham Lincoln, and it won. He was very excited about that. Victor David Brenner was his name, and he would be known for all time as the creator of the penny. He was the one who created the image of Abraham Lincoln that went on the penny, a great, great honor for him. He went back to Congress and asked a crazy question. May I put my initials, since I'm the creator of the image that goes on that penny, may I put my initials, Victor David Brenner, VDB, on the face of that coin? And for some reason, Congress, for the first and last time, said yes. So there was two places that that penny was originally minted in 1909, in Philadelphia and in San Francisco. Since Philadelphia is the first mint, if you have a coin that's a blank underneath the date, that means it was minted in Philadelphia because it was the first one. If you have a D underneath it, that means it was minted in Denver. If you have an S underneath it, that means it was minted in San Francisco. That is a 1909 blank, which means it was minted in Philadelphia. Something else you may want to know about that coin is it is an XF. It is extra fine quality. That's really in good shape. The fact that that coin is over 100 years old, the fact that it is the first year of the Lincoln penny, the fact that it's an XF makes it worth about 25 cents. Not a big deal. Here's the real story. When those coins hit the public looked at those coins and were aghast. They said, the initials are way too big. You must pull those coins off the market, which Congress did. But a few of them made it through. What they did in the mints was take those presses and fill in the Victor David Brenner, the VDB. But a few of them made it out. If you have a 1909, VDB in XF quality, the main factor, its image, had been created by its creator, and that's the value. That particular one, if you would take this eyeglass and look in the back, right where the little wheat sheaves come together, you would see a little VDB right there. Because the initials of its creator are on that penny is worth 2,000 times its original value. You will want to treat that penny in a very special way. You will want to take that penny and use a non-detergent soap. Do not rub it, because the value of that penny is that XF2. You will want to put it in this little case right here, because the creator's initials are right in the face of that penny. That's the end of the first story. Second story, second half. It was exactly 40 days since the resurrection. 40 days from Sunday is a 40 days Sunday. 42 days would be another Sunday, right? So 40 days would be almost 6 weeks later. It was a Friday. Friday afternoon, Jesus left Jerusalem with his 11 disciples. Ellen White tells us that the people of Jerusalem watched them leave and were reminded of times in the past when Jesus and his disciples would frequently leave town and go up to the Mount of Olives. The disciples did not know what was going to happen. As they proceeded up to the Mount of Olives, Jesus put them in a circle, stood in their midst, and turned to each one of his 11 remaining disciples. It's crucial for us to take a look at who these men were. The one missing was a traitor. We know that. Four of the 11 that were left, we know for a fact that they were common, everyday fishermen. We think that three more were. One was a doubter. We know that. One was a zealot, Simon the Zealot. The zealots were a subversive group bent on one goal, overthrowing the Roman Empire. They would use any means, including force, to do that. That was a close disciple of Jesus. There's one more that we know about. In that society, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you had the common people, you had the prostitutes, and then you had the tax collectors. Matthew, the tax collector, was one of Jesus' closest followers. That was his 11. He turned to each one of them and gave them each a personal blessing. Peter. It'd be fun to know what he said to Peter. John, Bartholomew, Andrew, Nona, Merlin, Diana, Joy. There's no difference, friend, between those 11 and us here today. We are all his followers. Then Jesus did something that they had never seen before. He, like us, soon became weightless, and he rose from their midst. He was going up to heaven, where they had a celebration that the heavens had never seen before. And on his way up, however, he remembered his 11, and he turned to them and said the last words that he would ever say to them on this earth, words that he had obviously thought through. he turned and said, words that are just as true today for us, I will never leave you. He was gone. It's the end of the second story. Conclusion, be the penny. Have your value come from the fact that you have a JC minted right into your DNA. Never forget that you were created in the very image of God. And now, Father, we ask for that blessing on each person present today. And we look forward to that day when we will see you face to face in a world made new, where we will be recreated in your very image. Amen.